Hey, and welcome to the Pathway Church Podcast. We're so glad you're here to join us. We hope that this podcast inspires you to live life both for God and your city. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes. And remember to leave us a 5-star rating. Enjoy the message.
Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Come on, you guys give our women a great big hand clap today. Just an awesome thing. Aren't you thankful for all that the Lord is doing at Pathway Church right now? And just really, really thankful today. Hey, to all of our campuses, wow, that sounds pretty awesome to say. Foley Campus, Airport Campus, and to the Moffitt Campus family, I sure do love you a whole lot, and I'm glad that Jesus is in the house today. And I'm thinking about our moms. You guys are amazing. All that you do, thank you. Of course, my mind has run wild a little bit this morning thinking about all of the blessing that my mom is for my life and all the blessing that my wife is for our children. We're so unbelievably blessed. But not all those memories are good. Maybe you're like me. When I was about 4 years old, my little brother was about two. We were driving down the road in the back seat of our car. I think it was either a Datsun B210. That was a brown car. I'd sleep up in the back window of that thing. We were driving down. It might have been a Delta 88, Oldsmobile Delta 88. It's one of those two cars, I think. And we were driving down the road, and as was our fashion, my brother and I were competing in the back seat. A little bit of controversy, some fighting going on. You know, it just happened early. And we were arguing over a little matchbox car. None of you guys did that, did you? I had that little matchbox car in the back, and I guess my mom just had all she could stand, and she reached back in the back seat. She reached back there, never even looked, because moms have eyes in the back of their head. She reached right on back there, snatched that car right out of my hand, and threw it out the window just like that. It's one of my earliest memories. To all the moms that are beautiful and wonderful and amazing and also can snatch a knot in your head real quick, we say we love you and thank you. And thank you for raising us so that we aren't always going around acting like fools. And moms, you're amazing, sweet and strong and tender. And the Pathway Church moms, you're godly. And your pastor blesses you today. Pathway Church, one more time, let's bless all of our moms here in the house today. Today I want to close out this message series talking about Aaron and his wife, Ellie Sheba. I want to talk to you about the blessing and the anointing of unity. Aren't you thankful for unity? When we have it, we know it. And when we don't have it, boy, we know that too. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 6 and verse 23. We're going to hear this couple introduced. Aaron married Ellie Sheba, the daughter of Amminadab and sister of Nahshon, and she gave birth to his sons, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. This is a couple, power couple. You don't hear a whole lot about Ellie Sheba. You sure do hear a lot about Aaron. But they're prominent figures in the scriptures. Ellie Sheba was the wife of the prophet Aaron and the priest Aaron. Of course, Aaron was the older brother of Moses. He was actually not only a high priest, but he was the first high priest of Israel. She was the daughter of Amminadab, who was from the tribe of Judah. She was sister, as Exodus 3 says, she was sister to Nahshon from the tribe of Judah. And her Hebrew name is composed of two parts. In one interpretation, the first part Eli, like Elisha or Eli, means my God, and Sheba means my oath. So when you say her name, you are saying my God, my oath. So the name of God was prominent on her life from the moment that she was born. She came from a tribe of Judah, a tribe of praisers and worshipers who would often go before battle, establishing the presence and the authority of the Lord. She was not only a wife of a prominent man, but she was prominent from the day she was born. Listen to me just for a second. I think that every single believer, when we raise our kids, we ought to speak life into them and let them know that they are somebody from the very first breath that they take. Now, that may not have been your experience. Maybe you heard that you were a mistake, or maybe you heard that you always act like a certain somebody. But listen, in Jesus Christ, you are somebody. You matter. You have purpose. You have destiny. I believe in you. God believes in you. You have purpose. You will change the world. Speak it over your children. And if no one's spoken it over you, you remind yourself of who God created you to be. We as believers are kings and priests. We are somebody. Straighten up, stick your chest out, pull your shoulders back, walk with a little bit of rooster strut in you when you go. You know, God has called you, he has anointed you, and he's purposed you. Now, you might have come out of something today. You might be tired. You may have had some problems. Maybe there's some financial things, some health things going on. Maybe you don't really have any stats that tell you you should feel bad, but you just are not feeling good. Listen, I want you to know you are a child of the King, a priest of the Most High God. And I'm so thankful because you're changing this city, you're changing your family, and you're changing this world. Hallelujah. This is who Aaron's wife was. You know, I have to say, my whole life, I've had a sense that I was somebody, my entire life. Doesn't mean that I didn't face some things as far as self-esteem and that sort of thing, but there was always this sense in the back of my mind that I was special, that I came from somebody, that I had a name to uphold, that I had a calling to uphold, and I should walk and carry myself accordingly. When my dad would first start letting me go out and hang out with friends, he would say, son, I want you to be above reproach. I thought, I wonder how many kids have their dad say using those words as they're sending them off. The reason he used words like that is because I wasn't like anyone else. You are not like anyone else. God has a purpose for you. So here's what I would say. Don't lower your standards. Don't lower your expectations. Raise your standards. Raise your expectations because God created you uniquely. He anointed you. You have purpose. Hey, listen, moms, I don't want to tell you what to do. I could never do your job. Dads, I don't want to pour anything on you today, but I do want to give you an assignment, is to speak life over your children. And over those baby beds, maybe you got a room that's set up for a kid that you can't have a kid, or you don't have a kid yet, but I just want you to speak it even before it's happening. Begin to speak life over their future and their purpose. Because before Aaron was a high priest and before Elisheba was the wife of the high priest, God had purpose on her life. And one of the great things that we can do today is before our circumstance says that we are somebody, that we would come into unity with the purpose that God has created us for. He formed us while we were in our mother's womb, and before that, he knew us. When you're going through something, I want you to be encouraged today because God has your back and he has your path. And the good steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And if they're ordered of the Lord, then what should we fear? She was an amazing, amazing leader in and of herself. Elisheba and Aaron had four sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, according to Exodus chapter 6. Now it's said that in order to legitimately be recognized as a hereditary priest, Jews are required to be Levites of direct patrilineal descent from Eleazar and Ithamar, the two youngest sons of Aaron and Elisheba. There was something special here. In fact, when you get to the book of Luke, in the very first chapter, we see someone that carries this distinction, that for so many years they had been known as direct descendants of these people, just like Jesus was a direct descendant of David and Jesse and Rahab. That whole lineage was there. There is another lineage here with a couple, Zechariah and John the Baptist's mom, Elizabeth. So I want you to understand that this is a thing that got started, a moment that got started. These were significant people. Of course, when you look over to Aaron, you may remember him from a story when Moses and Joshua, Moses was up on the mountain and Joshua was down in the valley battling the Amalekites. And the Lord told Moses that as long as he would keep his staff and his arms upraised, then Israel would win the battle. Remember that? It was Aaron and Hur that came alongside Moses and lifted up his arms and slid a rock up underneath him so he could sit and so that the people of God could have victory. It's a powerful thing to know that there was a stuttering leader like Moses who obeyed the Lord, but also had significant men like Aaron and Hur to uphold his arms when he got tired. Let me tell you, ministry, calling, fatherhood, motherhood, leading a business, leading a family is hard work. Have you noticed? Anybody tired? You know, we wanted to have five kids. Kelly and I did. We had a little construction problem in our house. We moved out into another house while that was getting fixed. It was a much smaller house. We thought we'll wait until we get back into our house before we have child number four. And then Blake accidentally got out of diapers and we slept for the first time in 7 years. We said, you know what? This feels so good. Let's not have another. You know what? There are times when you're tired and you need an Aaron or you need an Elisheba to come alongside you and lift up your arms and encourage you and strengthen you. Oh Lord, that Pathway Church would be full of godly people that are in unity with the purpose of God, that will lift up the arms of those who are ministering and serving and caring for and working and hustling. You know, wouldn't it be amazing if all of us just got in the habit of encouraging one another in the Lord? This whole society is pressing everybody down. We're talking, you know what? We got first world problems here in the United States. Yeah, there are real problems, but we got first world problems. And I know that when I hear us talking about problems and I'm like, that's not even a real problem. We just don't have anything to talk about, so we're inventing all kinds of new problems to whine and complain about. Listen, Pathway Church, let's stir up the gift of encouragement and strengthening and coming alongside one another. It's a powerful gift that we see in the life of Aaron and Elisheba. We see that Moses was called to free the people in bondage, the Jews in bondage in Egypt, and he didn't want to go because he was stuttering. He was a very strong champion, and he went off into the wilderness. I think he just had such a slap in the face. His self-esteem took a hit. He didn't want to go back in and face his brother, who was now Pharaoh in Egypt. Moses was a prince of Egypt, an adopted prince of Egypt. And he said, Lord, don't pick me. I can't even talk right. He said, pick Aaron. Aaron's got it all together. So we know that Aaron was substantial in Moses' sight as well. And we see that during the rebellion of Korah, some of the Israelites rejected the leadership of Moses and Aaron. They wanted to be priests as well. They wanted to take their place. And so the next day, a test was set up to demonstrate whom the Lord had chosen. And the rebels were swallowed up by the earth. Boy, that's a bad day right there, you know? The other Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron. God was prepared to consume them all. But Moses instructed Aaron to make a statement and make an atonement for the people and this plague that had been placed on the people in their rebellion was stopped. God used Aaron to do that. He told Moses to take staffs from each of the tribes, each of the leaders of the 12 tribes of Israel, and put them in the tent of meeting. The staff that sprouted would be the man that God had chosen. The staff that sprouted was the staff of Aaron, just an old dead stick that he carried around to help him walk. It bloomed like it was still alive. It would go on in the Ark of the Covenant that very staff, the staff of Aaron, would be placed in that holding place, that holy place known as the Ark of the Covenant. What a miracle to establish the Aaronic and Levitical priesthoods. It really can't be understated the importance of Aaron and Elisheba's life. And I don't know that Aaron would have happened without Elisheba. I don't know that many ministries that you see that have been a blessing to you would have happened without the priestly family. Let me tell you, it takes more than one person to do ministry, to lead in a church, to lead a ministry. I mean, it does happen. Paul said he would rather you be single. Now that was his thought. God said it's not good that man dwell alone. That was the original thought. God blesses singleness and he blesses marriage. Holy, both of them. But I know this. I thank God for my wife. I thank the Lord for Kelly Johnson. She has been a tremendous blessing, not only to me and not only to my children, but also to the church. And I'm so thankful today. And I just want to stop for a second and say how thankful I am for godly women in this house that do things that people will never see and will never know. You are a blessing not only to your family, but you are a blessing to your community, you are a blessing to your church, and you are a blessing to the body of Christ. I wish I could look at all of you right in the eye. I know some of you can feel it today. I just wanna see, I wanna look in your eyes and let you see the sense of appreciation that's in my heart. Thank you for loving Jesus. Thank you for loving your husband. Thank you for loving your children. Thank you for loving your neighbor as yourself. You're making a difference. Now, the theme of this couple's life was service to God and unity. It was a gift that we see roll up in the book of Psalms. I'll take you there in just a second. But their ministry of unity reunited the rebellion of Korah. It's blessed the people, and God even gives a commanded blessing around this concept of unity, and we can see it. We've lived it. We aspire for it every day. And I ask God that he would bring it into our marriages, into our households, into our future marriages. Listen, young men, young women, get a job. Be godly before you're married. Find somebody you love. Find somebody that loves Jesus. And talk them into spending the rest of your lives together. Married. Having babies. Listen, I'm saying this part for the grandparents in here, the wannabe grandparents. Have babies, have lots of babies. So we have some more grandparents. Is there anybody say, go ahead, we're ready for you to start having some more babies. Come on, let's bless the Lord. We're ready for some more babies, right? Find a way to come into unity with God and with someone that loves the Lord like you do. In Elisheba and Aaron's case, it was unity in marriage and in ministry. Both. It was both. And in Aaron's case, we see the blessing of his marriage, and more publicly, we see the blessings of the Holy Spirit flowing from his priestly ministry. We'll get to that here in just a minute. But first, I'd like for us to take a look at how unity works in marriage relationship. Go with me to Genesis chapter 2. I read this almost every single wedding that I do. This informs a biblical view of marriage and sexuality. Anytime we speak about these issues, these are not my opinions. This is the scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Adam says, "This one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man. This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are," say it with me, "united into one." So in marriage, one plus one does not equal two. In math, it does. But in marriage, one plus one equals one. And I just want to encourage maybe some of the younger marriages, maybe some of the marriages that have been around for a little bit, you're still going, some lessons that we can learn here. There is a place where you still have your person and the other still has their person. And you know what? We shouldn't be consumed by one. It shouldn't be one overtakes the other, but the two should be united into one. Listen, stop your striving with one another. Stop competing with one another. Stop fighting with one another. If you win a fight against your spouse, you have only won a fight against yourself. You're not tearing one down, you're tearing both down. I'm not asking you not to have conflict. If you're in a marriage that doesn't have conflict, something's wrong. But what I'm saying is, let's unite together as one, not competing, but instead complementing. The two are one. So marriage, we see, is one man and one woman united in covenant relationship with God and one another. Now, you can marry almost anything right now. I mean, there's people marrying robots, people marrying trees. And I mean, marriage, nothing means anything. Everything means nothing now because we're afraid to define everything. Now, just for just a second, a few days ago, we were told that you can't define a woman. But this week, we were told that only people with uteruses can have an opinion about abortion. I just need somebody to make their mind up. That's all I'm saying. One man and one woman. This is scripture. Unity. Let me say this. When we pursue unity in our marriage, God unleashes blessings in our lives. It's not even something that you have to pray for. We can pray that God will bless us, or we can get straight to being in unity with one another, because there, God has already commanded a blessing. Why pray? Why pray? Pastor said today that we don't need to pray. That's not what I said. What I'm saying is, we don't need to pray when God has already shown us what to do. And if we want blessings unleashed in our life, we'll come into unity wherever we are, as long as it pleases the Lord. You want blessings in your job? Come into unity with the mission and purpose of the business that you work for and the people that are hiring you and employing you, and just get really good at being as good as you can. Listen, I'm telling you, as an employer, we are looking for people that can get up on time, can show up on time with their teeth brushed and looking halfway decent and put in a full day of work and not turn off Angry Birds every time somebody walks in behind the screen. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and we'll just bring it and give it. But if you'll come into unity with that business, you know what? They will throw promotions and money at you all day long to keep you. I mean, you go down to Buc-ee's, which, praise the Lord, Buc-ee's is like Alabama's promised land right there. You don't cross a river, you cross Mobile Bay and you get there. And when you're pumping gas, you look up there and starting hourly wage, $20 an hour, $15 an hour. People are looking. You come into unity with that business, it's gonna bless you. You come into unity with your teacher in your class, you're gonna be more blessed than if you're fighting your teacher in class. In your marriage, let me just do mom and dad a favor real quick. When your mom tells you to clean your room, get your butt up off the couch and go clean your room right then, right then. Oh, I'm gonna do it later, Pastor. No, delayed obedience is disobedience. Get your carcass up off of the ground. We've been feeding you and clothing you our entire lives. Go clean your room. Oh, man, I don't know where that came from. That just is working its way out. That was not in the notes. Somebody help me. Come into unity. You want your marriage to flourish? Stop striving with one another and come into unity with the purpose of your marriage. That's not going to solve all your problems, but I promise you it'll make the problems easier to deal with. God commands a blessing on unity. Go with me to Psalm 133 and verse 1. Here's what the Bible says. And this is Aaron's piece of the pie right here. This is some good stuff. How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony, is what the New Living Translation says. A number of other translations, the same word, different word, same meaning. When brothers dwell together in unity. For harmony or unity is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced or has commanded a blessing, even life everlasting. It's not on the mountain that God blesses. It's not Hermon that gets the blessing. It's unity that gets the blessing. The Tower of Babel, there was a commanded blessing on that tower as they worked together with one purpose to build a tower to the heavens so that they could worship. And God could not stop the building unless he confounded the unity. And that's where the language was dispersed. Now I could take a Holy Ghost sidestep right here and I could talk a little bit about what God did in Acts 2. In Acts 2, actually what he did is he took people from all tribes, all nations, got them together in that upper room, and the Holy Spirit was poured out and they began to speak in other tongues. The Bible says that in that place, people of every nation heard the message of Jesus Christ in their language. Listen, while the world is in chaos, God wants to bring unity to the church so that people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a blessing that's pronounced there. I want to tell you today that we can expect blessings in every single arena of our life when you and your spouse are in unity with one another. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I'm going to read verses 9 through 12. This is just really practical way the scripture tells us this. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. And then here's our superpower at this last part of this verse. It says, three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. Let me just say this really quickly. It's one great thing when a husband and wife come together in unity, but it's much more beneficial. It's much more powerful when a husband and a wife together come together in unity with God himself. That's the three chord strand that we're working for. Listen, you can build your house together on sand and be in unity with one another, but if you don't have the foundation of the Word of God and the people of God, the Holy Spirit of God, listen, there are storms that are coming. Kelly even said it a little bit earlier right here at Moffitt campus today. When the storms come, if we've built our foundation on the rock, then God will help us to withstand every single challenge the enemy throws our way. Amen. Let me just really quickly say that when you come into unity in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your workplace, you can expect these blessings. I got some fill in the blanks for you over in our Pathway Church app. expect this. Number one, financial blessings. Anybody could handle some financial blessings? Just go ahead and raise your hand. That's all right. Is that all? You know what? You never have enough money. You never have, how much is enough? A little bit more. That's what it feels like for you. It seems like right when you get a pay raise, there's more bills to pay, right? That's why one reason I'm looking forward to heaven. They carry around gold like it's asphalt. You know, the streets are paved with that stuff. Financial blessing when we're in unity. Number two, physical blessing when we're in unity. Physical blessing. Last week we learned that men will live on average 17 years longer when they're married. But we also learned that a man in a bad marriage will die at about 17 years earlier in a stressful marriage. There's unity when there's blessing. Third, a generational blessing when we're in unity. I want to be blessed. I want my kids to be blessed. I don't have any grandkids, but I'm going to have some grandkids unless Jesus comes back. One day, you know what? I want them to know Jesus like I know Jesus. Come on, am I speaking the language of anybody that's here in the house? Are you praying for your children and your children's children to know Jesus? And my great-grandchildren, I don't know that I'll see my great-grandchildren. Maybe. I'd like to live that old. And my great-great-grandchildren. And if Jesus doesn't come back before I have six generations, I want them to know Jesus. Because in my lifetime, I came into unity with the Word of God, with the people of God, and with the Holy Spirit of God. They say that it's not really a baby. It's not really viable. Do we have that? I just want you to see that. Is that not incredible? When we come into unity with the Word of God, even our children, before they've taken their first breath outside of their mom, they will be blessed. I just want to pause just for a second, and I want to say to the Lord, Lord, won't you bless our family? Won't you bless our children? Won't you bless the offspring of the people of this church? Father, won't you keep our babies safe? Won't you minister to them, God, that they would have life and life more abundantly? Lord, in a day and age where life is not valued, God, I pray that as we come into unity with you, overcoming our challenges and the things that are in our past, Lord, in this moment, from this moment on, Father, you would bless us and protect us and keep us and help us to bless others and protect others and keep others, Father, for your sake. Amen. I just want to say that.
We hope you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all of our most recent episodes and visit pathwaychurch.us/give. We'll see you next week.